change your name. You've helped me through so many things. I want to take the time to praise your name. Supplying my need. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I praise your name. You've helped me through so many things. I want to take the time to praise your name. Your me through so many.
Dark. it's good to be in the house of God today and listen to these good songs. I believe that about the righteous, and I believe God take care of his people. I was just reading in the, maybe it was the first chapter two of Deuteronomy, where Moses was reminding the children of Israel when they was, he knew he was going to be leaving the scene of action pretty soon, and he was reminding them that, you know, giving them a history of what had happened to them going that 40 years they were out in the desert, that they didn't lack anything. And I was thinking, you know, their shoes didn't wear out, clothes didn't wear out that was on their backs. And I know, you know, I got a pair of boots that I bought from Sister Tucker when she, Sister Tucker used to sell Mason shoes, and they probably about 20, 30 years old, but I didn't wear them out, but because I didn't wear them. But these people were wearing that clothes every day, the shoes every day, and they didn't wear out. And they may have gotten thirsty a few times, and God provided that need for them, but when you think about that, that many people, what they said, the camp that they give us is on just on men alone, it was over 600,000 men. So if you count the women and children, they estimate to be over 1 million people out there wandering in the desert, and God providing for them. You know, we get concerned sometime here. We got all everything at our fingertips, and we kind of get concerned about what's going to happen to us. And these people was out there in the desert, and God provided. So I want to believe God. I want to begin to trust him, because if he can do that for that many people out there that they weren't working jobs every day, they weren't, they didn't have all the things that we have, but God provided for them. And I believe that God can provide for us when we begin to trust him and be righteous, as Brother Durham says to us. The righteous are not forsaken. You know, God had, he had enemies. You know, he had told the children of Israel, you know, that when they went in those countries and took that land, God considered those people his enemies. And their diseases, they had diseases that he told the children of Israel, if you obey my commandments and my statutes and my judgments, then none of their diseases are going to come up on you. You know, those people had all kind of things. I don't know. We don't have a history of all the problems they had. But he told the children of Israel, you know, if you obey me, then none of these things are going to come up on you. They won't even, you don't even have to fight. You know, I'm going to be your battle warrior. You know, I'm going to fight for you. You know, those are the promises God gave his people. You know, he sent those, you know, earlier before they got over there, you know, this is before the 40-year wandering that happened, that he sent the people out to search the land, and they searched the land. And sure, they were giants, and they had walled cities, you know. He told, yeah, that's all the report they gave, well, that part of it was true. But the part that they didn't believe God. That's what he was saying. If you just trust and believe God, then he's going to take care of that. You know, don't you worry about the walled city. Don't you worry about the giants. You know, you just go in and take the land. You know, if I told you you can take the land, then you can take the land. You know, that's what God was saying. You know, don't, you know, they're walled cities. And, you know, they're giants. All of those lands, all those ice, the lands that they were in, seemed like they all were giants. The Anakims and the, I don't know, they had the whole realm. They were all giants. But that wasn't the issue. That was not the issue. And I think today, you know, we still are serving a God that can meet our needs. And that's what I have to talk to myself about this sometime, because, you know, if we begin, it's still, you know, it works today. What I'm saying is that if we begin to trust God, you know, the things that it may not be the giants in Canaan land or the cities that we're trying to overcome. It just may be our attitudes and our spirits and our feelings about things. You know, we can get into a position of where we almost give up on things, you know, life and get weary in well-doing or whatever the case is. But if we begin to get our mind focused on the Lord, you know, things happen to us. You know, we all human beings, so we all have problems, and we encounter things that something it's almost overpowerful, you know, overbearing. You know, we can't hardly get through it. But God can help us. That's my point. God can help us through all of our situations. You know, all of our needs is what I want to do, is begin to put that into practice. Begin to believe the Lord, because he can help us. And he's proven that. I've gotten to see some proof of that myself. You know, I hadn't lived long as some people, but I think I've lived long enough to believe, to see that God can meet our needs. That he can, he doesn't take everything out. Like, we have to consider God in everything, because he doesn't just remove, you know, every situation that we encounter. But I believe God can help us. You know, God's help sometimes may not come from taking things away from us that's bothering us. Sometimes our help comes from being able to go through it, knowing God is with us. You know, knowing that what I'm going through, you know, something we go through, it's no other way you can get that kind of experience or encouragement, just knowing, you know, that God is there. Just knowing God is there with you, you know, it goes a long ways. Not, you know, something you can avoid, and that may be good, but then something is best if you were able to get through it, knowing that God took you through it, then you're that much better. I just tell you, your faith, it increases your faith in God. And that's what we need sometimes, just to have our faith increase in God, to know that, God, and something, like I say, is good. We know how other people feel about things. Sometimes we go through something to be a help to somebody else, because other people have problems. And if you can just tell them to, look, God helped me through this. You know, he was there. I know he was there. And then I believe he'll help you if you just begin to put your trust in him. You know, and that sometimes that's what it is. You know, just being able to help one another. You know, we are I've heard people say, I hadn't been to one of these groups, but anyway, they have support groups for different kind of problems you might encounter in your life. Some people have these habits that maybe, if I want to name a few of them, but they have support groups. And what they do is they talk about it with each other. And they kind of give their experiences. And somebody else was, maybe they weren't thinking the same way, because we think different. You know, I've been in groups and classes where there's a group of people, and I hear this other person talk about it. You know, my thought pattern, sometimes you get hung up in a certain thought pattern, and you can't get past that until you hear somebody else. They come at it, they're not thinking like you. So when they come at it and look at it, they look at that problem with a different set of ideas, a different mindset, put it that way, a different mindset. When they look at it, they don't look at it like you, and they may go right through it and you say, well, I wish, why didn't I see that? Because I was stuck. I've done that many times. I've been down at work. I'd have a problem, and I can just go on a break. Just take a 15 or 20 minute break. Go for a walk. Get your mind off of it. Come back, and it helps you. So anything, I'll tell you what, God is good to us. And I'm just thankful that we're serving the kind of God that we're serving, that's interested in us. We were talking about that Wednesday night. God is interested in us. You know, he want to help us. You know, but he knows he can't take every problem from us. That may not help us. You know, he said, well, if I take this away from him. Like he told him about the going into Canaan land, a conquering the land. He said, well, I'm not going to let you do this overnight, you know, in one day. He knew that. He said, well, if you do it overnight, then the beast of the land might increase and be against you. So we're going to do this at a time, you know, at a time that is better for you if we do it gradually. You know, he didn't let them just go in there and just take it over, but he let them gradually take it over so they wouldn't be overcome by the wild beasts of the land. And, God's wise. You know, sometimes he knows that, look, I could do this for you, but I know if I do it, like children, you know, you raise children, and you know you could help them with this. You could just give them what they need, but no, if you let them work at it a little bit and try to, somebody said, Will Tucker used to talk about a problem. You know, you can You can kind of, you can give the answer right then, or you can kind of beat it around. You can beat it. He called it beating around the bung, didn't he? And he don't tell you just exactly what the deal is, but he can kind of go around. And then next thing you know, you can see where he's going. Then once you see where he's going, you kind of figure it out. And he'll let you go at that because he knew you'd figure it out. So anyway, that's the way God, he help us. You know, he might not just come out and just take care of that little situation like you think he would, but if he can kind of guide you, kind of get you going in the right direction, and then you see it for yourself, and then you say, well, I see that now. I see what he means. I see what he's talking about. So anyway, it's good. You know, if he had just told you, it wouldn't have meant as much to you. But if you put forth a little bit more effort, and you see it for yourself, it'll mean a lot more to you. So God is so good to us. He knows what we need. He's helping us, and in our services, I appreciate him. I appreciate him just feeling God. We come in, begin to reach up and to touch the Lord and begin to allow his spirit to overshadow us. And that's a blessing right there, to be able to know we come here and we're not just meeting, like I said, for a social gathering, but we're meeting, we're here on business for the Lord, and we're his people. First of all, we're his people. Brother Fisher was telling us about, you know, we're royal priesthood, and we're God's people. You know, when you begin to think about that, you know, God's, he don't take that lightly either. You know, this is his people. So I want to just, you know, be a part of God's people and not want to do anything outside of what God want done. You know, this is his people, his work, so I want to work with God. I want to be a part of what God is doing and try to see what God, he might not just show us everything at once, but he wants us to kind of feel out for him, you know, and see where he is and what he's blessing. And so anyway, let's thank God for this day and remember our needs. I know my wife talked to Sister Crow earlier this week, and I guess she thought they would be here today. Just couldn't. Just remember, Brother and Sister Crow. You know her heart. She wants, they want to be here, so let's pray for them. Brother Stewart. All right. Remember, Sister Karen, Brother Curtis, the family, Sister Chris, Chelsea. Okay. All right, remember that need today. Remember the church in Dallas. All right, Sister Donna. Dylan. All right, remember Dylan. What, he's about midway is his training? Is he halfway? There. Remember him. Pray that God will help him. Brother Daniels, I don't see him. I don't know. Anybody talk to him? Yes, sir. All right. Pray for Brother and Sister Smith. They'll be home tomorrow night. And Brother Durham is saying that they had a wonderful meeting. Just remember them over there, Dominican. We got a visitor. I don't know if it's Douglas. You've been here before? Okay, well, good. We're glad to have you today. God bless you and your children. Brother Tom Boyd. Yeah, good to have him. Praise the Lord. Sister Tiffany's mom. She's not new, but anyway, good to have her here today. And she's been requesting prayer for your sister, Sister Curtis. I hope she's doing. How's she doing? Is your sister? Okay, how's she doing? Doing okay? Getting better. Okay. Remember that need. All right. Yes, sir. Brother Maine. Yes, remember him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That was an inaccurate
report.
It is fully operable. The problem is that it's they won't operate to a certain size.
Okay.
It's 5 millimeters. Right now it's 4 millimeters. It has doubled in the last 6 days. But it is fully operational.
Okay. Operable. They're observing the situation. Okay. All right, remember Brother Main. Pray for him. Sister Linda. The clock. Okay. Yes. Yes. Daylight saving time. Yeah. I was hearing somebody, I don't know, it was a newscast or something about statistics on daylight saving time. Said that people, more accidents. I thought, 1 hour? But anyway, they say that there's a percentage of accident increase because of daylight saving time. People have more heart. But anyway, that's statistics. What is it, brother? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for the prior on that report about Brother Main. Yes, sister. Joe. The job situation. All right. Remember Brother Joe. All right. Sister Debbie. Your grandbabies. Remember, Kristen. All right. Remember her grandma. All right. Okay. Brother Paul McGowan and Sister Holly are both working today. Remember that? Okay. All right. Is any? That it? On the prayer request, I guess we'll do the offering too, brother. So let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God will help his people. Lord, we look to you this day, oh God. We know that you can help our needs. Lord, we realize, oh Lord, that it's not by our power, but it's by your might, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, help us to put our comfort, put our trust, Lord, in you. Believe you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, oh God, this day. Glory, 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 glory. Each one, Lord. Be with Brother and Sister Smith, oh God, and be with them and help them, oh God, as they prepare to come back home. Keep your hand up on your people, oh Lord. Lord, help us that our hearts would reach out and compassion, oh Lord, for your people. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
I don't normally do this, but
I
would be okay with
this right now. We had 5 men. Yes, sir.
If that's okay.
Something I may not know, There are some places I don't go, but this one thing that I am sure, for God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away, but since that day, oh, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy.
Where I was, did not have eyes to see, ears to hear, but I was here. And the Lord looked down on me one day. He opened up my eyes and let me to see. Touched my eyes and said, you can see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Woo! And I was listening to Brother Tally talk about the children of Israel. You know, when they started out, they were stiff-necked people. God said, you're a stiff-necked people, told Moses to get out of the way, and I'll wipe them all out. Moses said, if you do too, the nations will say you couldn't take them over. That's the reason that you cleaned them out. And I guess God got to thinking about that, and he said, I guess you're right. I'll give them another chance. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. But, you know, over and over and over, they kept making mistakes. Oh, God. They did wrong when Dathan and Abiram rose up against Moses. And the Lord opened up the earth, and earth swallowed them. And the next day, they didn't learn a lesson then. The next day, they said, you killed the Lord's people. Oh, God. I can imagine God said, oh, my goodness. Oh, God. But, you know, I look at that and I read, Lord, I can have a spirit just like that, sitting in the best thing that you have for the world today, listening to these truths going forth, and I can murmur and complain. Oh, God, help me not to be a murmurer and a complainer. Oh, God. You know, when my son had an accident in 2009, tragic accident that killed him. Oh, God. You know, it was the 7th of this month. Was the 5 years since that. And somebody sent me some flowers. I don't even know who it was. But I certainly do appreciate them. Beautiful flowers. But, you know, Lord, the Lord carried me through that. He carried me through that. He did not let me grieve. I could have grieved myself to death until my mind was gone. And I can do it today because when I think about it, it was like yesterday to me. It hits me that hard. And I think, Lord, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And he's always been there. Always been there for me. Woo! And when I was, when they told me that I had this cancer, oh God, I said, Lord, I can only do what I can do, and that's trust you. I choose to trust you, Lord. Hallelujah! Because I know. I believe the colony under the colony. Woo! That is well able. Well able. Woo! Come what may. So what if kingdoms crumble down? So what if the sun doesn't shine? He's God. Woo! And I trust him. I trust him with my life. Because I know, like Brother Durham said in Bible study, that we can't do this on our own. I can't do this myself. And you know, that brings a comfort to me. Lets me to know that I don't have to do it myself. All I have to do is trust God. Believe his word. Do his commandments. And he promised. His promise is that he'll take care of me. He'll take care of me. You know, that's his promise to each one of us. No matter what we go through. God has promised that he'll see us through it. And I believe him. I believe it. Brother Pryor admonished us to exalt the Lord. And Brother Pryor, all that week I did, and every time I did, I thought of you, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord, because I believe that if I exalt him, lift him up, he will call in the city, call in the other. Woo! Woo! Oh, I believe that he'll give us strength. Strength in the hour that we need the strength. It's his promise. It's promise to us. Oh, God. I pray, Lord, remember my granddaughter. Remember, Lord. Remember me. And then remember her. Oh, God, I pray that I have stored up enough mercy that you would shine your light on her. Oh, God. Oh, to not lead it just to any church. But, Lord, I want to have your best. Just as I saw my grandma, I looked at my grandma's life, and I said, Lord, when I get grown, I want to go to a church just like my grandma, because I saw something there. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was, but I knew. I felt something when I went. I felt something when I went to a church. Those old ladies playing the tambourine, beating on that hardwood floor, their feet with their feet, and I thought, this feels good. It was, to me, it was like playing. But you know, the Lord was dealing with my heart even then. Then he brought me here. He brought me here, and I didn't know where I was. I had a statue of Mary in my house. I didn't know what's the name of that group? They believed in the Catholics. And so my sister said, she said, oh, you believing in Mary now? I said, no, I don't believe in Mary. I believe in God. She said, this statue here, Mary. I thought, is that what that is? Oh, God. I was blind as a bat. Oh, God. But he started dealing with my heart. He started dealing with my heart. And I said, Lord, if this is the way that it is, I'm going to hit the road running. Ooh, the color down and down. Woo! And I didn't know that something was after me for me to be really needing to run. Oh, God. And when I saw this thing after me, when I looked in the mirror and saw, well, you rascal, you. So you're after me. You're the one. You're the one. All right. We're in for a battle. I knew that I was in for a battle. But I knew, and I still know, that it's not me. It's not. I'm not in it by myself. That's what I was telling the nurse. That nurse. I said, you know, I was saying this to myself. I didn't tell her, but she was telling me some things. And I thought, I'm not in this by myself. I'm not in this alone. I'm not fighting this by myself. Whichever way the Lord chooses to heal me, it's going to be him, honey. God, honey, honey, honey. Woo! Woo! So I feel good today. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry I answered the master's call. Oh, and I'm not in darkness. I'm in the light. And I want to walk in it as I see it. As he shined the light on my path, I want to walk in it. I remember Brother Taylor saying, if you're going to California, your headlights don't shine to California. It shines a little bit at a time, and you take the step just like he was saying. Take it a little bit at a time. And as I see the light, I want to walk in it. By the help and grace of God. Only by the help and grace of God. Finding out more and more that his grace, his mercy, his mercy that's new every morning. That's why I love him. Because he first loved me. Thank you, Lord. Life's not easy, you know. Life's not easy without the Lord, you know. To me, it's a little bit, you know, more easier. I guess really a whole lot more easier because I do know who I can turn to. You know, you can talk, you know, to your pastor. You can talk to your best friend. You can talk to your spouse. But there are times that you just have to get down to the nitty gritty and just talk to the Lord, you know, to get that inner peace that you're needing. And I don't know what your inner peace, you know, I don't know what your need is, but I know what my need is. And just listening to the talks today, including Bible study and everything, and I'm going to share something with you that I felt like the Lord's helped me with here in the last 30 days or so. For you that don't know me, I opened up a retail needlework shop here in Little Rock, and just I really sought the Lord. You know, Brother Paul and I had been talking about it for several years, and I started working towards it, and then I just kept waiting, and I kept building at home, and I kept waiting, and then finally, you know, it was like things started happening, and just like one door opened and another door opened, and I mean, and it was just like, you know, there were no yellow lights, there were no red lights, it's just go, you know, and but in that going, it's like, you know, it's and this is kind of what the revelation that I got the other day about it is, I went to market in February to buy a new product, and that's something that you do every year. There's two markets a year that I attend, and a couple of friends that went with me, they could see the load that I was under, you know, and they were concerned about me, and I appreciate the words that they had to say. I mean, I really did, but until you're under that load, nobody understands. I mean, you might can understand to a certain degree, but nobody really understands that load that you're under. And so, you know, I listened to them and I thanked them, and, you know, and I thought about the words that they had to say, and I just kept praying like I have been for years, you know, about this soul situation. You know, Brother Paul and I aren't getting any older, and, you know, it's a different time now. You don't get any You don't get, it's not like years ago to where you went to work for a company, you know, Southwestern Bell or AFCO Steel or whatever. That situation is over. Life has changed. So to survive in today and into today's world, to me, you've really got to search out the Lord about what to do. What are you going to do as you grow older? Because there is no such thing as depending on Social Security. You know, there's no such thing as depending on a job that's going to keep you for 20, 30, 40 years for you to retire from. I mean, you know, it's not happening, folks. You better be ready yourself, you know. So, you know, we've been thinking and going through the process. But then after, And I've had several businesses. I built a home daycare and got to keep my children at home and send them to private Christian school. And I've helped Brother Paul build his business. But then my business is totally different. You know, it's not based on service. It's not based on an hourly wage. It's based on buying the right product, and making it appeal to your customers and just keep building from there. But after what I realized was, February the 28th, that week, it was like the Lord showed me I had ended my third trimester of this new business. I had birthed my baby in the natural. okay? So, all right. And if you build a business, they say that if you can keep your doors open for your first year, and I just paid my 10th month's rent, you know, and it's like, and I can see 11 and 12 already in front of me, you know. It was like the Lord showed me, you know. My friends could say what they had to say, but they couldn't understand. You know, they were trying to tell me, you know, well, you know, we go to jobs, you know, we have the same problems you do. And I thought, no, you don't. You do to a certain degree. But you, when you walk away from that job, you don't carry that financial load. You don't carry the load of the customers that come in that need you for more than just the product that they come in for. And what I mean about that is I've had ladies walk in that have shopped with me enough now that they come in, and I had a lady recently come in. She goes, can I talk to you? I need some spiritual guidance. And I'm like, oh, boy. You know, it kind of puts you on the spot because you're like, woo, you know, you got to make sure that you say what the Lord would have you to say. But I can see that it's not about me. It's about God, and that's why it's named Shepherd's Needle, because the business, yes, I manage it, I own it, I operate it, Brother Paul and I, but it's His. He put me there. And so, you know, I was trying to explain to them, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you've not been in the position of building businesses to where you carry the load. Nobody else is carrying that load for you. You and God, you know. You, your spouse, and God, you know. So, but what I want to really say about it is that He had touched my mind and said, you know, you just ended your third trimester. You have birthed your baby in the natural. And so now it's at the position to where the baby's got to learn how to sit up, and it's got to learn how to crawl, and it's got to learn how to walk, and it's got to learn how to run. Okay? Take that over to the natural side of my life. You know, when I first came in here, I couldn't even, you know, I had to be burped. I had to be fed. I had to be burped. You know, all of us do. And so when you relate that to your spiritual side of your life, which is more important than your natural, it's much more important than my business. I am so thankful that God is blessing me and helping me, and I seek Him all the time. But think about your spiritual walk. That's what I did with when God started talking to me about it. It was like He correlated it with my spiritual walk. You know, when I came in here, I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't burp myself. You know, I was a brand new Christian, just like a brand new baby being born. You know, and then as you grow, you learn how to sit up. You learn how to crawl, or I should. I hope I'm getting there, Brother Tally. You know, you can't come in here and it's going to be done like that. You know, I get tickled at Sister Tally because she'll give us a testimony every now and then about how she thought when she first came in here, well, she could do everything. And, you know, and we learn that we can't, you know. We come in here and we learn to listen. We learn to sit up. We learn to crawl. We learn to walk. We learn to run, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not just encouraging myself, but I know there are times, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can be the oldest person in here. There are still times that you want to, you know, and that's what happened to me the other day. And God was so good. It was like Wednesday, it was, I really wasn't doubting myself, but I did let that question mark enter my mind. It was like, God, did I really make the right decision of moving out here? You know, did I really make the right decision of taking this step forward and moving out here? And about that time, two ladies walked in my door. One of these ladies had had a complete mental breakdown several years ago. And the other lady that came through my door, her name is Miss Linda. She invited this lady to my retreat, one of my retreats 2 years ago. And I could see that, well, the lady had been in my shop before, and I could see that there was a huge, huge emotional healing that needed to take place in this woman's life. But the very day that I was thinking about that this morning, when I thought, did I make the right decision? At the same time, those two ladies came through my door, and Miss Linda and I have worked together already to do everything that we can, that when this particular lady comes in, we do everything we can to
to support her, to encourage her, to build her up, because she sure don't need nobody else tearing her down. She's done hit bottom, and now she's coming up. And it was just like, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I am there to shine a godly light, and I do. I strive every day to do the best I can to shine a light to the women and the men, you know, because believe it or not, a lot of surgeons, a lot of sports people and men do needlework. In their happy, fulfilled lives, they do needlework. And I mean, I've got one little fella that comes in every week, and I'm working with him. Nobody wants to be patient with him, you know. I mean, and he is a little bit, you know, odd. He is a little bit demanding. But, Lord, you know, when I came in here, I'm sure I was odd to a lot of y'all. So, you know, I look at the people that come through, and I see the impatience in some of my other customers with some of my customers. And it's like, you know, I'm here. God put me here to love one another, you know, to put our charity forward and to love one another. So, no matter how old you are, you still need encouragement. You know, you still have times and challenges in your life that you need encouragement. And I am so blessed to be here. So blessed to know that I can come to church so tired, so wore out. And when I leave, I have heard such good, positive things that it carries me on through life. So no matter how old you are, how young you are, you know, if you're middle-aged, whatever, it doesn't matter. God is going to meet your need. That's what I felt like I got out of my lesson, is God is going to meet the need. And I just want to thank him and appreciate him today.
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank you, everybody, for praying for my aunt, and I thank God for being here. Thank God for being alive. Man, it's a lot to thank him for. And I thank God for Sister Inez. It just did something to my heart to know that you believe in and trust in God, and that's what we have to do. And I ask y'all to just keep praying for me and my family, praying for my aunt. You know, the doctors gave up on her. They said they couldn't give no more help for her, but we know as long as she got breath in her body, she got a chance, and we're not going to give up, you know. I'm believing God. I know if he raised Lazarus up, I know he can do it for her. Yes. So I'm believing, and I'm trusting the Lord that she's going to make it, you know. I know God is able. I know he did it for my mother, you know, and I know it was time when years ago they told my grandma the same thing. He did it for her, you know. It wasn't her time yet. Until God is ready for her, it's her time, you know. So I thank God, you know, for doing so much in my life. I thank God for blessing me. I thank God for blessing my family. You know, it's just so much to thank him for, you know, for saving my soul. You know, just being able to just be alive, you know. Praising him for having strength in your body. Praising him for being able to, you know, just get the victory out of things. I just thank the Lord, you know, for blessing me. You know, like she said, if you live the light for God, it'll shine, you know. And I thank God for being able to live a life that I pray that he's, you know, pleased with me, you know. And I thank God that he's continued to work with my life, that I can continue to please him. So I ask y'all to continue to pray for my family and just keep us for God and keep hope and keep strength and keep praying and keep believing him to be a healer and that he's able to do anything. And we know he's able to do anything. So y'all just keep on praying for me and my family. I love y'all with the love of Christ.
Sister Donna. why don't you tell everybody about the Bible and then give a little testimony.
And I'm thankful for that touch and for everything that the Lord has done for me. And He surely has His hand on me, I tell you. And everything I seem to go through and all the testimonies and everything I've heard today has been so encouraging and helpful to me. But Sister Julie and Brother Mike have gotten a Bible for Dylan. He had been wanting a Bible. And he had asked me to send him one, and I had planned on it. And I was just mentioning to them one day, one Sunday here, and Brother Mike said, that's our Sister Julie. One of them told me, said, well, that's odd because Brother Mike wanted to send him one, and we've already gotten one. So anyway, they're wanting to pass it around and get everyone to sign it. So if you haven't signed it, I sure would appreciate it because it would mean a lot to Dylan. And he just wrote me another letter and said, are you going to send me that Bible? So, and I didn't want to ruin the surprise and telling him that we've got one coming from him. And but he's going through a lot, and I wish everyone would remember him. He told me this, that he felt like he had took God for granted. And he said, Mom, I feel like I've taken you for granted too. And he said, I want to repent, and I want to repent to God. And he said, when I come back, I'm going to be a better Christian. So I know the Lord is dealing with him. And he kind of feels like that maybe he made the wrong choice. But he's going through so many emotions right now and dealing with so much that, you know, it's, I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, he really needs prayer. And he told me, he said, please tell everyone at church that I love them, I miss them, and I miss being in church. And, you know, a mother, I'm so thankful to hear that because I know Dylan listened in church. I know he paid attention, and I know he got a lot more at times than I got in the service because we had talked about it. But I'm so thankful to know that he's still acknowledging the Lord, even though he's not here. And that I'm really thankful to the Lord for, because I feel like, you know, bringing him here when he was a young child and rolling under those pews over there, that, you know, God still got his hand on him, and that something got down in him. So I'm just thankful to be here, and if you all would sign that, I sure would appreciate it.
There was a man of God called Hezekiah. He grew old in years, and it came time for him to die. He turned his face to the wall, and God heard his cry. And he added 15 years to Hezekiah. And he said, my God is able to perform those things which are impossible with man. He's an ever-present help in time of storm. ever-present help in time of dole. My God is able to perform. He's just the same today as he was before. When he healed the sick and raised the dead and more. Now through the valley we lean upon his arm. He knows how he's our God and he's able to perform. My God is able to perform those things which are impossible with man. Well, he's an ever-present help in time of dole. My God is able to perform.
He's able to perform.
Yes, my God is able to perform those things which are impossible.
Time of storm, my God. possible with man. His ever-present help in time of storm, my God is able to perform.
Do you believe it today? Is our God able to perform? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for having that faith that's been put in our hearts and the many testimonies we've heard today and how God is moving in our lives and how He's lifting us up, how we're learning to lean on Him and get closer to Him. I appreciated what I've heard. You know, it's those building blocks that Sister Inez was talking about, Brother Tally referring to. You know, as the light shows a little bit more in front of us, just taking that next step to get us a little bit closer to Him. I really appreciate this service. I've been going over the book of Judges with my children, and I've been going through the Bible and reading as far as, you know, in that Old Testament, seeing how God's hand continually delivered His people time and time again, and I've been trying to put that into my own personal mind as far as apply that to, Lord God, help me. Help me to ever put You out front, Lord, to ever keep my eyes and focus on You. You know, I want to not go to, I don't want to focus on the nasty now and now, okay? I don't want to put my mind so much on the earthly things. You know, here's the list, God, my laundry list of what's wrong today. You know, that's what the children of Israel often did. You know, oh, I'm hungry. You know, he saved them from this huge Egyptian army coming toward them on chariots. I mean, death is raining down on them, and God just, boom, blows them up with the Red Sea. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Takes them all out. And then the next day they're going, I'm hungry. Where are my leeks? Where are my onions? Where is my tomato and my crow and my, you know, whatever? God can do these great things, but You can't provide me any food, Lord. I don't want to have that attitude. I don't want to have that attitude. I want to ever remember those landmarks. You know, the Bible says to remember the old landmarks. You know, for my life, those old landmarks are time and time again. Has He ever failed me? Has He ever let me down? No. No, you know, I was thinking, this thought came to me today whenever I was getting ready for church about, you know, I think about believing on the Lord or believe on God. Well, you know, I want to turn that around. You know what? I want God to believe in me. You know, He's done enough. I should always have enough faith and trust in Him because He's always delivered me. But there's been times when He's looked around and said, well, now where did He go? I know Brother Phil was here somewhere. I know I just told Him to go do this, and I don't see Him anywhere. Where did He go? He's playing hide and seek with me again. I never even liked that game as a kid. But that's the way I have been in my personal walk with Him so many times. It's like, sure, Lord, I'll go do whatever.
Is He still looking?
I'm confessing today. You know, I'm going to confess a little bit more. And I even said this, I don't think it was too long back, to Brother Pryor about, you know, something that I've had trouble with is, okay, I spoke last Sunday, right? So in my mind, now see, I know, and I've talked to myself about this, not like back and forth, not like, well, you should do this and you should do that, okay? I don't go that crazy. I'm just saying in my mind, okay? I promise. But I've thought about, well, you don't need to get up in the next service. Why, the people might think this, or you might look like a blithering idiot, or, you know, and I just go through these long lists. It's like, okay, well, dear Lord, I have checked off my one time this month. Praise God, I am delivered. And not, you know, and not worried about it, right? Well, and the Lord said, no, you're wrong. Because I had no inclination to get up and sing tonight. But God had been dealing with my heart about saying some things. But I was trying my best to see if I couldn't keep that chair nailed to the ground right there. I wanted to make sure it wasn't moving in the house of the Lord. And I was just sitting there holding it down. But the Lord said, you know, and this is, here's the deal. I pray that you got something out of that. I pray you get something out of what I'm saying. But I know God's working on me. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord He's not going to let me sit on my laurels. He's not going to say, you know what? You said you would. Now I'm trying you. You said you would. I've been reading, you know, about the judges. I've been reading about the men and the women that were moved on by the Spirit. They did not have... Let's look at this real quick. How many books in the Bible did Abraham have to look back at? Just a question there. How many books in the Bible did Abraham... When he said, Hannah, when he said the books of the Bible, Abraham, he got off easy. Okay? Because number one, there wasn't a Bible like that. But if he was doing that, he just had to say, Genesis. You know, okay, that was his book. That was the book in the Bible. And there wasn't even a Bible of the type that we look at today. There was nothing to refer back to. He had the genealogy handed down to him from the righteous line from Seth to that day. You know, he wasn't able to go and read about Abraham. He wasn't able to go and see the mighty acts of God, but he had enough faith to know, you know what? God said, move, and I'm moving. God said, leave your homeland. Forsake what you have out there, and I'm going to show you a better place. And Abraham said, okay, I'll go. Now, see, he didn't have that spirit that I like to have sometimes. Yeah, Lord, I'll go. I was just joking. I didn't mean today. I meant next week, Friday, if I'll clear my schedule, and I'll get back with you, Lord. I don't want to have that attitude. I want to have the attitude of, Lord, send me. Lord, whatever it is. You know, and that's the thing. I'm not worrying about those physical battles that went on in the Old Testament. You know, whenever I'm reading about David and his mighty men of valor, and the things that they did, you know, the one that he was fighting against the enemy and the sword clave to his hand and he couldn't put it down. I mean, he may very well have been like, I'm beat, Lord, I'm done. But the Lord says, no, today I'm going to deliver Israel with your hand. You've got the sword, keep going at it. And he delivered Israel that day. Well, you know, I'm not worrying about physically fighting against anyone. But I'm fighting against someone every day, aren't I? I think Sister Inez was talking about when she found out who she was running from. You know what? I look in that mirror and I go, "You dirty rat! Once again, you are not getting not today. Let me keep you down. Stay under my foot." You know, I want that because as Brother Durham was talking in Bible study about, you know, clearly. It says in Matthew, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Thankfully, Brother Durham, that Jesus didn't say right then, I mean right now. I mean right now. Yeah. He just said it, and I know that it's a process. I know that I have that day-by-day walk. That, you know what? What number did you come up with as far as according to the amount of sins in our lifetime, what was it? It was 10, you said? About 10 times a day. All right? We'll go, yeah, I was going to say, sure, okay. Bless the Lord. So 10 times, you know what? So maybe if I can just knock one of those down today, if I can just say, you know what, Lord, you're not going to have to kick me out of the seat. I'm going to willingly get up because you know what? I may not have any other thing to offer other than just getting up here and saying, you know what, I want to praise God. I want to lift Him up. At the very least, I can lift up the King of Kings today and say, thank you, Lord, for, like Sister Tiffany said, for another day. Hey, my lungs are still working. How about y'all's? That's a blessing. There's plenty of people that don't have that opportunity today. And I would say they would trade places. I have that opportunity. I can lift my hands today. I have eyes to see. More importantly, as God has touched my eyes. And thankfully, Stridenes, we're not blind as a bat today. But we're seeing a little more. As that sevenfold light comes about, we're able to see a little more. God, show me. And what are we seeing? Seeing more about what's in here. He's showing me day by day. You know what? You might feel like you can conquer that mountain today, but I'm just going to show you this little molehill. Why don't you just work on that right there? And then I go, ooh, that is a big molehill, isn't it, Lord? What do I do? You know what? It's like eating that elephant. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I didn't come up with that, but yes, it is cute. I'm just using it from somewhere. I'm not plagiarizing. It's not mine. But that's how we get closer to God. One day at a time. Brother Pryor mentioned a few weeks back, you know, it's that line upon line, precept on precept. Here a little, there a little. The thing is, you know what, Brother Pryor? I want to make sure that I'm adding the line upon line. That it's not that, okay, because my mind, I might put a line over here. I totally forget about that one. Okay, I'm focused on this one. Oh, he put another one over there. Wait, he put one over here. Next thing you know, I'm like, where are all these lines at? I'm lost. I want to apply it all to my life because it all works together for my good. Line upon line, precept upon precept. I need to understand, okay, so how can I get a little closer to the Lord? Well, how do I treat my brothers and my sisters? Did Jesus say that, you know, you can say that you love God who you haven't seen, but how can you really say that if you don't love your brother and sister who you have seen? If I can't get my love truly over to you, you know, and I can say, Brother Wallace, I love you. Ooh, and that might make you feel good right then. But then when you call on me to do something, oh, well, I'm helping Chelsea do laundry today. Or I'm doing something. I'm not really getting my love across to you. I want to get my love across to you. You know, and that's not just, this is from my own, I'm professing my heart today. Because God wouldn't let me sit down. And he used the hand of the ministry to say, here, Brother Phil, it's gone. It's not just on those things, but it's also, what if, and I won't name, but what if a brother or sister, if they're having a bad day, and they maybe, we'll put it on me. If I'm having, I'll put it on you. Okay, this is what you need to do because I'm going to have a bad day. I'll just let you know. I'm going to have a bad day. And I might say something the wrong way to you. But because you have that love of God in your heart, because you've heard this message of charity, because we understand truly how we should be treating our brother or sister, you're going to cover that sin that day. Charity covereth the multitude of sin. What sin is it? Maybe it's my sin in my life that I'm not treating you right, but you can love me a little bit more and you can show me by that action how I need to be acting. I'm the one making the mistake. I'm the one treating you wrong, but you can then turn around and go, you know what? Let's pray for Brother Philip today. He might be over his 10 count today. He might be up to 15 in his sin count, but let's pray for him and let's help him and show him the right way. That's what I want to have in my life. You know, I'm not going to say you're sinning, but I know I still am dealing with this Adamic nature. I'm still making mistakes, and I want to move past that, don't you? Don't you want to get closer to him today? I want to put that charity message down deep in my heart so that if someone does, Brother Tally never does this, all right? That's why I'm going to say this. So if Brother Tally, if he comes into church and he walks right past me, now there's two ways I can handle that, right? There's actually more than two, but I'm going to give a couple of them, okay? So Brother Tally, would you, no, don't shake my hand. You don't like me right now. No, actually, he is so set. The Lord has been dealing with Brother Tally. He's got a certain song in his mind. He says, I know the people of God are going to be blessed because God's been telling me this. And so he is focused on getting up here. And I'm standing by, and he just passes right on by me. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Or here's one choice. Did he just do what I think he did? Did he just walk past me? I know Brother Tally didn't ignore me, right? Come on, someone help me out. Did he? Bless the Lord. I'm going to have to pray for Brother Tally. He doesn't know who I am. I'm not saying I've done that. I'm just saying I know that would be a choice I might make, right? Okay? I don't want to make that choice. I don't know what's going on. You know what? You know what the thing for me, I know what I need to do. I need, you know what? If Brother Tally's up here, you know, I'm going to go to him. Because you know what? I'm not so important that I should go to every one of you and say, I love you, Brother York, and I need to get that over to you. I want to shake your hand. I want to look you in the eye and go, you know what? You're a cool guy. I like it when you get up here and you tell some of them things and, you know, it's the countryside and all, and I enjoy it. I mean, I do. I'm being honest. I enjoy your testimony. I enjoy hearing the things how God has worked in your life, and I look, can I apply some of that to my life? Have I been in a similar circumstance? Or maybe I'm going to come to one, and I can go back to that and say, you know what? Now, that's how he went through that. Let me see if it'll work for me too. So I want to go to Brother Tally and say, I'm not vaunting myself. Charity vaunteth not itself. I'm not pushing myself up. I'm coming and I'm saying, hey, Brother Tally, I didn't get a chance to shake your hand. I love you, brother, and I appreciate it. I know you're busy right now doing something with the band. I just want to tell you, I'm glad to see you. Now, that's the kind of spirit that I want to have in my heart. That's the kind that I can then put aside that Adamic nature. I can say it's not for me to judge the situation. It's for me to respond to the situation correctly. Because you know what? It wasn't a situation. It was not even a situation. It's how I was perceiving it. And we know our perception is our reality. Well, that means my eyes are messed up. That means my focus is no longer on him. But I got a sinly mirror out and said, look, it's all about me. Why, look at, I can't say my hair. Well, look at me today. I bless the Lord, aren't you so glad that you all are seeing me today? Oh, I want to lift my hands and say, I'm so glad to be in God's house today with my brothers and my sisters, lifting their hands up, seeking their wealth to get them closer to God, and I'll get closer to God, and it's just that wonderful relationship right there. Because we don't do this on our own. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Do you see this world raising up that standard of evil? This subjective behavior that's in the world? Why, sure, it's okay for you to do that. Why, sure, it's okay for you to do that if that's what makes you happy. Why, I was just reading in the book of Judges, and what does it say? They did evil continually in the sight of the Lord because every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's subjectivism. Well, that's an old theory, isn't it? It's been around a long time. In their own eyes. But thank the Lord, we have a ministry. We have the leading of God. We have the Holy Ghost to show us what does He want. It's not what's right in my eyes. It's what's right in His eyes. It's what direction He wants to lead us. It's what direction He says to go. It's if He says jump, I'm already jumping. I'm not even asking how high. If he would say no higher, say, okay, Lord, and I'll jump higher. I want to have a humble heart toward my God. I want to be a willing vessel. And it's obvious God's working on me in that. And you know, I want to submit. I want to fall on the rock and be broken. I don't want the rock to crush me to powder. I want to willingly say, God, you know what? I know I've got holes in my vessel. I don't want to leak out your word. I don't want to leak out your spirit, God. Fill me, Lord. When you fill my cup, he's going to first fill it so it won't leak. He's going to bind up those breaches. You know, there's so many of those different analogies and pictures. We know about Nehemiah talking about, you know, building the wall. You know, they were building a wall. And what did they have? They had a sword in one hand. Why? Because they knew there were other people, there were enemies that were going to try to tear down their work. You know, who's that enemy I'm worried about today? If my perception's right, it's inward. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. We wrestle against principalities and powers of this world. I'm sorry, I'm misquoting now. We're wrestling, I'll say this today, I'm wrestling against myself. I'm wrestling against the mind that I've let all these outward influences, I've let them get in here. Okay, that's on me. But ultimately, it's my decision. Ultimately, I'm the one saying, I can use my sword to keep that at bay. I can use that sword, this sword, I should say, right here, to protect myself, to keep my heart guarded as God builds up that protection there. As he helps me and puts, and then, so that way when I do feel the Spirit, when I, and you know, that's, isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful thing? We have an understanding to know I'm not just getting dosed in the Holy Ghost or getting, what's the other one, where the spout, where the glory comes out? You know, not just getting there just to feel that Spirit, just to feel it, but it has a purpose. And that purpose is what Brother Durham was talking about today, so I can get one more step closer to God. So I can get a little more of me out and a lot more of Him in. So that one day you won't look at me and see me. You'll still see this, but it's my character. It's my nature. You'll see Christ, and that's my goal today. That's our goal today. That's what we want, right? Isn't that what we want? We want to lift Him up in ourselves. We want to say, God, fill me up, Lord. Fill me to the brim. I want to see Your Spirit within me. You know, it's another thought that I was having as far as thinking about the church. Thinking about, and I know I've heard these teachings from Brother Leninger in the past, and Brother Smith has continued and added more to, but about the church, or about the woman, but ultimately, see, we're a part of the church today, but ultimately, I want to be a part of the man-child, or I want to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. My calling isn't to that second resurrection. My calling isn't to that after the 1,000 years. My calling, your calling, is to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. That's one of the ways that our eyes have been opened today. And I don't want to take my focus off that. There's no second place. I want to seek Him today, in this day. And you know, I may not have all the light today. We may not have all the Spirit today. But what I have, I want to be faithful in today. That's what my calling is in right now. If I'm living up to what God has given me today, then I am faithful. I'm upright. I'm righteous. I'm imputed righteous in His eyes if I'm living to that, what He has given me. Because He said, here, son, I'm going to give you these tools. It's up to me to use them. It's up to me. God has done so much for me. Right in the song say, I cannot tell it all. I can't tell everything God has done for me. He's blessed me so much. Just, I'll say in a partial right mind, as much of a right mind as I have today, and I'm able to come up here and speak, that's a blessing. Because, you know, there's so many songs that we have that have so much meaning. You know, it's not a body song, but the song about remind me, dear Lord. You know, roll back that curtain of memory. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. You know, it's a great possibility if I had stayed on the path that I was on that I would be out in a graveyard today. I wouldn't be alive amongst His people today, you know? Jesus said, our time is always. Our time is always. Well, God, let me take my opportunity today and say, Lord, I want You to come find me working. When He does come into His church in the fullness, I want Him to see us working, right? Working that road, building that wall, lifting up the body of Christ in the earth today. It's up to us to raise that standard. No one else is going to do it. But the call has came out, and we're the ones answering. I want to answer that call today. I want to lift Him up today. I want to lift up the church today. I want to praise His name. Not just with an outward manifestation. You know, but that is something. I was thinking about this, and I'm just confessing about, so you can know a little more about me. Why? So you can have more charity toward me. I really am a shy person. I really, really don't like to be outspoken. I would love to be able to just go off by myself, you know, read a book, be quiet, be out of the way. But you know, for whatever reason, God said, that's not for you. That's not for you. I got something different for you. It makes me uncomfortable. I know that Sister Thompson was talking about she's getting more of an understanding of why God has allowed her in that business. She knows she's where she needs to be. Let me tell you, I have fought tooth and nail with God about where I'm at because it's uncomfortable to me. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm not talking about just from the job. The job has been a great job, but it gets me out of my comfort zone. And it's also, I've seen where it's made me more forward, not just to be forward or to be froward, but to be bold. Why? Because God is looking for those to stand up for Him. God is looking for us. There's plenty of people. You walk down the street, there's plenty of people that are being bold for this world's message. There's plenty of people that they say, oh, you know, we'll let whatever go, but you mention Jesus, they will get in your face and tear you down. You are backward. You're an idiot. You're just an unintelligent person if you believe in that Jesus. You know what? Let me stand up for Him today. Let me stand up for Him and say, you know what? I do believe in that Jesus. I believe what He can do in my life. And I know I have read the back of the book. And the back of the book is very confusing. But we know, Sister Inez, we know He comes down. God is on this earth. He is our God. He is the Son. We know we'll have Him and His righteousness. And that's what we're seeking. And I don't want to lose focus of that because I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be arm in arm. I want to see Brother Talley. I want to see Brother Durham. I want to be, you know what? You might know I'll be there. I want to be there. All right? I want to be there. Do you want to be there? Come on. Let's go along. Let's be soldiers for Him today.
Folks would allow me to, I would like to concur with Brother Phil. Let me hold it. Concerned the fact that he said he was shy.
I'm not so sure that he's near shy as I am. But once upon a time, I was really shy. Been a while now, but used to be shy. But I certainly appreciate what he said to us today and appreciate this service and what's going on. And I thought I might share with you, just for a few minutes at least, some of Abraham's promises. He received four basic promises that I can think of right off the top of my head. First, he was promised that he would have a son. Well, he wasn't promised that first. He was told, one place he was told that he would have, that his seed would be, one place he said it, his seed would be as the stars of heaven. Then in another place he was told that his seed would be as the sand of the sea. And then he was told that he would be the father of many nations. And another place he was told, of course, that he would have a son by his wife Sarah. And, you know, that in itself is a wonderful story. It really is. But Abraham's life, you know, when you really look at it, it really is a tremendous story. And then I want to kind of reiterate somebody, I think it's Sister, who was it here a while ago that made mention about trusting in God? I can't remember who said that. But trusting in God goes beyond our own feelings, our own ideas, our own wishes. You know, I mean, you've got to get to the place where that regardless of what happens around you, you believe that God is in it somewhere or other. That's trusting God. I believe his sister Inez Watson had made mention of it, at least in reference to it. She may not have said it, but But all the conditions around us are for our good if we will apply them correctly. Don't forget about these promises, because I want to show you, if I can verbally, you know, I want to show you how that God filled all those promises to Abraham. And I know in times past, I believed that when it's talking about Abraham being the father of many nations, I thought that he was talking about coming from his seed, his natural seed. You know, that he had Isaac, and then there was Jacob, and then the 12 patriarchs of the children of Israel. But that wasn't what he was referring to when he made that promise to Abraham. But we know that the promise to Abraham was not a physical, natural promise. It was a spiritual promise. It was a spiritual promise. And the Bible said that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. If you go over into the book of Romans, the 4th chapter, it talks about Abraham through that chapter, and I really wish I could just go into the whole thing. I woke up the other morning at 3:15 in the morning. That's an ungodly hour for me. You know, I don't like waking up at 3:15 in the morning. But it wasn't too long after that that I went ahead and got up. So, you know, 3:35, 40, you know, before 4 o'clock I was up. And then when Ann got up, my wife, she come in there and asked me the question, "Wayne, what did you get up so early for this morning?" I said, "Well, I couldn't sleep." I said, "I laid there for 10 or 15 minutes before I ever got up." You know, I'm one of these kind of guys that when I wake up, if I don't go back to sleep pretty quick, there's no sense. I don't lay there and fight going to sleep. You know, I just don't do it. First off, it's a waste of time, you know, because I'm not going to go back to sleep. And I mean, it don't take me but just a few minutes to figure that out. And I'm awake, and so I might as well get up. Anyway, when I woke up, all these things concerning Abraham was going through my mind. And, I mean, you know, it just flooded my mind. But I want to get it down to this point. God promised Abraham, "You're going to be the father. Your seed will be as a seed of the, or be as the stars in heaven, as the sand of the sea, and the father of many nations." In the book of Romans, the 4th chapter, it tells how that Abraham was called the father of faith. And it also states in there how that when we have faith in our lives, we become the sons of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, because of faith. Now, here's where I'm going with this. To show you that God has fulfilled those promises to Abraham and is still fulfilling those promises to Abraham, I was not born a natural Jew. I am of the nation of the United States of America. But Abraham is my father. Through faith, because of faith in my life, I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm part of the promise that God made to Abraham thousands of years ago. Hallelujah! And you are too. It's not because of where you're born, but it's because of the faith that's in your life. That faith makes you a seed of Abraham, and you become an heir to the promises of Abraham. Just like when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become a child of God. You become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You know, we have such a wonderful opportunity Brother Phil, I appreciated what you said and how that, you know, we can be succumbed mentally by the things we perceive in our minds. And Brother Leninger put it one time. He said it's not necessarily what you think. He said it's the stinking thinking that gives you problems. You know, but we're in a great thing today. You know, I say that practically every time I get up one way or another, but we've got an opportunity. And this thing that we're in, you know, the hardest part about it is believing that God can do it. If this is all left up to me, you know, about what I'm going to have to do and what I'm going to have to accomplish, it's not possible. It's not possible for me to accomplish what I'm going to have to get done in my life. But I know a man who can. You know, the hardest thing for me to understand about this thing is that I'm serving one that can get it done. All I got to do is furnish the man and keep believing in God. If I can believe in Him hard enough and strong enough, don't you know that He can pull you through a knothole backwards and not even leave a scratch? If anybody knows anything about a knothole, they're not smooth in most cases. And they're not very large in another case. And then, you know, when you get to looking at a knothole and you think, now how in the world can God do that with me being the size that I am and that knothole being the size it is? But if God tells you He can do it, believe He can do it. And that's kind of the mental block that we have in our minds. You know, we get to talking about being perfected. We talk about being overcomers and getting sin out of our lives. And you know, we forget who it is that's doing the job. You know, we forget sometimes that, look, yeah, those things got to be accomplished in my life. It's got to be done. But if it was left up to us, how far do you think we'd get? You know, I mean, consider this point. How far did you get before God touched your life? How saved was you before God touched your heart? How far did you get before you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How much of it did you have in your life when you started serving God? Did you do all that on your own? Or was it God that done it? Well, don't you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if He can do those things in your life, He can do the rest of it? I'm telling you, folks, we're on the inside looking out. You know, we're not on the outside wishing we could get in, but we're on the inside. Of course, here again, you know, the windows that we're looking through is in the ceiling. You know, it's in the top. Just like in the ark, you know, the ceiling was there, the light, the window wasn't in the side of that thing. It was in the top. If we'll begin to realize, look, we're in an ark here, we're floating on a flood, and if we could see out there, see how raging the sea was and is, we'd think, oh God, this thing is not going to stay afloat. It's going to go down. We're going to all drown. We're going to be destroyed. But if we'll keep looking through the window that's in the top and realize that it's God that's keeping this boat afloat, it's not me and not myself, it's not I, but it's Him. And if He can keep this boat afloat long enough, hallelujah, I can move out of our soul. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what God's doing. I still think we're in the greatest thing that God has available for us. So, Abraham, those promises that he received hundreds and hundreds of years ago is still being fulfilled today. Every person that has faith planted in their hearts and they respond to God becomes a seed of Abraham. My Lord, I wonder if he's kind of watching and looking around thinking, Oh God, that promise that you made me hundreds of years before I resurrected in the Elder Ring Church, they're still being fulfilled today. Hallelujah. There's still people that are responding to your spirit. They're developing faith in their hearts toward you. And it's because of that promise that you gave me way back years ago. Hallelujah. Now, I'll get to preach and take up a whole lot of time if I ain't careful. But I'm excited about it. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. I realize, and a lot of you realize, that I turned 70 years old here a few weeks ago. And I have probably talked more since then than I did before then. I'd like to explain why to some degree. Brother Smith made a statement here a few weeks ago, back before I turned 70. In fact, just right after the first of the year. He said, you know, by the time you reach 70, you just pretty well spent everything. You know what you're going to be spending. So when I turned 70, I made mention to Brother Smith. In fact, it was on our birthday, after service Sunday night on our birthdays. I said, well, Brother Smith, I guess today is my finality. And he said, what do you mean, Brother McGowan? I said, well, today I turned 70, so I guess I'm done. You stick a fork in me. He said, look. He said, it won't be long till I'll be 70. Of course, he's got a few more years on us, Brother Durham. But he said, I really think that, you know, I'll probably be able to go to 75. And he said, I have a strong feeling you will too. So he's kind of extended this thing 5 more years. So I got another few years that I can work. Whether I make it to 75 or not, I don't know. But I like working in the kingdom of God. I like working here. We've got great things ahead of us. You think this is good, you wait a few more years. Just wait a few more services if you think this is good. I'm telling you, this is going to get a lot better. This world is not going to get any better, but this is going to get better, folks, because we're learning more about God all the time, about His great kingdom, about the opportunities that we have, what He's going to do with us. My Lord, what do you think is going to happen down through the next 1,000 years? When we're in the bride of Christ, you know, it's hard for me to fathom. You know, we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ for the next 1,000 years. It's hard for me to fathom that, you know. I got kids that I can't even rule over. You know, they won't do what I tell them to do. Now, Dad, you're getting on up in years. You need to kind of calm down, you know, take it easy. And to some degree, I do agree with them, you know, especially like when you get out on ice and your leg goes this way and that way and you hit the ground. That's not a fun trip. But we're going to rule with Christ for the next 1,000 years. We've got a lot to learn. You know, there's something about this that I haven't gotten my mind yet. I just, you know, I'd like to know. There's a few things I'd like to know. Lord, how do you want this done? But I have this strong feeling down inside my heart and this thought in the back of my mind that if he can get me from here to the bride of Christ, if he can get me from here to there, he can tell me exactly what to do, and we'll make it on down through the next 1,000 years, get this world all cleaned up, get sin out of it, have the final resurrection of the unjust, fix those people up that want to be fixed, and the ones that don't want to be fixed, we'll put them away. You know, look, this may sound bad in one sense of the word, but consider, just kind of kick it around in your mind. I've heard this statement made, you know, that God's not going to show any, he's not going to, I don't know how I want to word this exactly. I don't want to word it so bad that it makes anybody look bad, but that his mercy is going to be limited. Can I put it that way? It'd be all right. Down through, or after that final resurrection, that his mercy is, you know, he's not going to be very merciful to those folks that come out of the ground down there. But, you know, I've made this statement. I said, you know, if somebody really doesn't want to serve God, I'm talking about somebody that just absolutely doesn't want to serve God. They don't want to do right. Did you know that you're showing mercy to them by allowing them into the second death? That's merciful. You keep somebody alive, that's kind of like making somebody stay in this church that absolutely won't do right. They don't want to do right. They want on the outside of them doors. But you make them stay in here anyway. Now, the most merciful thing we can do for them people is let them go outside the door. You know? Now, they will not get eternal life outside the doors. Don't get me wrong. And down there, after that final resurrection, if those people don't straighten up, if they don't do right, and you have to understand this, that in that final resurrection, this world is going to be cleaned up. They are going to be exposed to God in his fullness in the earth. They're going to be exposed to it. We haven't had that opportunity yet. I haven't seen him working in his fullness. I've not seen it. You haven't either. You haven't either. But they're going to see it because the world is going to be cleaned up. The bride of Christ reigning with Jesus for the next 1,000 years is going to clean this world up. People that want to serve God, they'll get in line and serve God. But it's coming for us. We're going to see the latter house restored and built. We're going to see God in his fullness in operation in this earth. On this earth. On this earth and in this earth. I am excited about it. I tell you, I can't hardly contain myself just thinking about what in the world is it going to be like. You know, it's really probably a good thing that the Lord just allows the Spirit to come in. You know, we really feel it move, you know, just kind of once in a while. You know what that's for? It's getting us acclimated. How would you like to have that all the time, available all the time? It doesn't mean that we'll be doing it all the time. Because people have to be learning about God's kingdom just like we are now. But I'm telling you what, when it comes time for it, there will be a rain in that church that will do something for the people of God that will cause people to come in off the streets and I felt something out there in the middle of the road that brought me in here. I felt something on the inside, Sister Watson. Hallelujah! You felt Grandma's church doing something for your life. But what about people coming in out of the world that felt something going on. I want to see what's taking place. And they feel that drawing of the Holy Ghost in their lives. Oh, hallelujah. There's something coming, folks. I'm telling you, there's something coming. Woo! You better get this one before I start preaching. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo!
I feel like we've been fed spiritually, and I'm encouraged today. How about y'all? From the first band song all the way until the end, this has been an encouraging service. And it's like Brother Smith always says, if you aren't encouraged, then maybe your encourager needs a little adjustment. This has been good. Brother Smith, by the way, comes home. Him and Sister Smith are flying in tomorrow night into Little Rock Airport. So they're going to be here in service with us Wednesday. So aren't you glad that you came to church today? I feel so good. That's one thing I told everybody in that Bible study. I just feel good today. You know, it's a good day to serve God. So, an announcement. You do? Next Sunday?
No, 2 weeks.
Okay. In 2 Sundays. We're going to. Okay, is that right? Because sometimes I don't hear things right. 2 Sundays? Save your money. It's always good to give her a good birthday present. Yeah. Sister Chelsea. Can we wear pink and blue just in case? Pink and blue just in case it's twins. Is that what you're going to reveal? No. All right. Has everybody got that? It's March the 22nd to reveal how many. Brother Stewart. Okay. Also, Sister Donna wanted to know, if you do sign it, that'd be good, but if you wanted to put your favorite scripture, didn't you also mention that too? Yeah, your favorite scripture. I can't think of a I'll just have to just circle the whole Bible. All right, why don't we stand and thank the Lord for this wonderful service. And then the cooks downstairs, I appreciate the cooks down here. I think since I've been here, I've put on a lot of weight. Brother Joe, I like this place. I like the spiritual food, and I like the natural food, too. We want everybody to stay and fellowship, and we'll see y'all downstairs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. God, we appreciate so much this wonderful spirit and the testimonies and the preachings that we've had here today. God, we just feel so encouraged. Lord, we ask that you go with us today and keep us in your way and help us to be a light to those around us that are in dark places. God, we ask you to bless this food. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. See y'all downstairs. God bless y'all.